If we were on the boat with the disciples, we would see the storm threatening us from all directions. The wind pushing us and pulling us, the waves battering us, the sky flashing and thundering. Our boat would be sinking. We can't scoop out the water fast enough, and soon we'll be swallowed up into our watery grave. Maybe for you and me, it isn't the literal wind, but the proverbial wind assailing us. The deadlines, the late nights, the early mornings, the burdens that we bear that are tossing us side to side and to and fro. Maybe it's the ruthless rain of time, as the hymn says. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at opening day. Maybe it's the proverbial water that's swamping our lives. The demands to perform better, to close more deals, or to rise to what seems to be an impossible standard of performance. We too might feel at times that we're sinking down into the darkness and drowning in our despair. Or maybe it's the proverbial waves battering against us, the verbal abuse of our adversaries beating us down, the continual criticism and accusation, even our own conscience, even we ourselves can be our worst enemies, and our own conscience can assail us. Perhaps it's the proverbial clouds hanging over us. We see and we look into the future and we look behind and everything seems menacing and dark. Our outlook has become grim, whether our outlook is a financial one, medical one, emotional one, or a relational one. Perhaps it's the storms, the proverbial storms that seem just to crop up without any warning, like it did for the disciples. Even on a global scale, nations warring against nations, people against people, raging and breathing threats and murder, not only between nations, but even on our city streets, and even as we experience it in our political turmoil in our nation. You'll remember that the fishermen, that the disciples, many of them were professional fishermen. They spent most of their lives working on the water. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. If they were scared on the boat during a storm, there's a good cause for fear. They knew that their circumstances were life-threatening. But it isn't just the boat that seems to be failing. Jesus seems to fail them. Jesus is oblivious, it seems, to the danger. He's asleep in the stern. If this would be a nave, the stern would be the back, below. All eyes on deck, meaning the disciples were probably looking straight ahead with Jesus tucked in, hidden behind. It doesn't seem that he's even aware that he too is about to sink down into a watery grave. But for us, for you and me, it can be even worse than that. We don't even see an unconscious Jesus tucked away in our sterns. We may not see God at all in our circumstances. No Savior to wake up, no shoulder to shake, no ear to cry into. the disciples have an advantage, it seems, over us. And so they grab Jesus to wake him up, and they cry into his ear, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" It seems a bit disrespectful, doesn't it? Maybe unfaithful, maybe even blasphemous for them to challenge the Son of God, to say that he even lacks empathy for their deadly situation. But here Jesus will lead the way for you and me. Because out of the depths of the cross that he suffered, remember, he cried out just as powerfully to his heavenly Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There are times when we should cry out to Jesus in the midst of our storms. Do you not care? Do you not notice my suffering? Do you not even exist? Are you even there? We might ask. These are the prayers of the faithful. These are the prayers that reflect how Jesus taught us to pray when he taught us, "Deliver us from evil." One of those in the boat that day, Peter, will later urge us in Scripture to cast all our anxieties upon him because he cares for us, Scripture says. Imagine for a moment what the disciples would have experienced. Right after Jesus wakes up and he cries out, and the text says, to the wind and to the sea. He wakes up and he says, "Peace," literally, "silence. Be still," he says. That wasn't directed to you guys. They likely thought that Jesus was talking to them. I would have thought that, because they just said something like, "Do you even care about our situation, Jesus?" And he cries out. And right at the moment that he cries out, "Peace, be still," the wind ceases to blow and the waves cease to crash against the boat. Have you ever gone to the beach after a storm? Maybe even down to Robert Moses, as Elizabeth and I have. 2 days after a big storm, the waves are still 20 feet high. I remember as a child taking a long bath and playing and sloshing the water back and forth and making waves to see how high I could make them before they would splash out of the tub. And then when I would stop, how long it would take for it to finally return to stillness. The stillness of the wind and the stillness of the water is a miracle, and an impressive one at that. So Jesus rebukes sin in our lives. He rebukes the evil that assails us. He even rebukes and speaks death to death. He cries out on the cross, "It is finished." He cries out to all accusations, "Silence, be still." Like the dead calm after the storm in our text, we too have a dead calm in Christ. We have the forgiveness of sin. We have peace with God and reconciliation with one another. We have the death of death in the death of Christ. In the silence, when the raging storm of thoughts and worries cease, we too find our peace. In the stillness of Christ's presence in the recesses of our hearts, we find our rest in Him. Do you remember how the journey began in our text? Jesus says, "Let us go to the other side." That was His promise from the very beginning, before the storm. Jesus gave them a word of promise before they experienced the storm. Jesus promises us to take us safely to the other side. He may take us through the valleys of the shadow of death. He may take us through stormy seas. He may even take us through trials and tribulations. But He will always take us safely to the other side, even if that other side is to be at home with Him and to be at home with our Lord. The punchline of the story is not that Jesus is asleep in the stern. The disciples are asleep. They are unconsciously living through the storm, unconscious of the Lord of glory who lay dormant there. They are spiritually slumbering and sleepwalking in that boat. Jesus wakes them up when He says, "Silence, be still," to the wind and the waves. And in His hushing, He awakens them to His abiding presence and His undying care, and a reminder that He was always there and was always in control. Jesus gives a peace that surpasses all human comprehension. And He gives us stillness to know that He is God. At times, we may feel that God is absent, or we may feel that He is laying dormant in our life's journey, unconscious of our trials and tribulations. But it is we ourselves who are living our lives unconsciously. It is we who need to awaken to the Lord of glory who is always there. The real miracle in this text is Jesus sleeping in the stern during a storm, resting in the cradle of His Father's abiding love. You and I can experience that same miracle and find that same peace and that same stillness during our storms. For the same Christ dwells richly in the stern of our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.